to a podcast about something where each week we dive deep into whatever it is we find interesting. I'm your host, Calvin, and joining me, he's a loser. It's your co-host, Nick Richardson.
Yeah, man, I'm here on this love seat. I said no to the couch. Fuck the couch. And now I'm here.
Nick's not actually a loser, but we are going in for another edition of Selective. I mean, he might be. I don't know.
Whoa, bro.
We're doing another issue of Selective Listening, and we're covering Beck's Loser from 1993. So that's why he's a loser today, not for any particular reason. Yeah, so this, you know, it's a time of much unrest in our country, and we just want to give everyone a hopeful song to think about as we ran through this.
If it's not hopeful, it's at least random enough to put a smile on my face, so there's that.
Or make you want to do drugs and kill yourself. We don't know yet. We're going to get to that.
I surely hope not. It's not as, you know, funky as our previous one, but it's pretty funky.
No, so just to run down the Selective Listening series, what it is, what we're doing here. This is a new series that we're doing sometimes. No real set schedule for it. It's just going to, whenever it comes up, we're going to do it. We don't have a lot of prep time for this, so it's really easy to throw in if we're feeling lazy or like something that we're planning doesn't go right. We can just throw one of these on. Basically, all we have to do is listen to the song and read the lyrics, and we're ready to go.
Boom.
Yeah. So what we do on top of that is we take a song, any song, and we break it down line by line based on only our perceptions and previous knowledge of it. We can't look into what the lyrics actually mean unless we already know it. Like, if we just know it from our knowledge base, fine, whatever. But we can't do any research for these actual episodes. We're just going off the top of the head.
Yeah, it's so much fun.
Yeah, it is. Last time, we did Hypnotized by Notorious B.I.G. Left that ass leaking. So hopefully you're ready for more.
Sorry, I just remember we talked about that for like 3 minutes.
We really did. A lot of ass leaking in the Notorious B.I.G. Hypnotized episode. So go back and check that out, and then come back for this one, because this is going to be a lot of fun, I think. Just having read over the lyrics, I think it's going to be fun.
I mean, I hear this. I'll talk about it later, actually.
Yeah, we'll get to it, because, I mean, there's a lot to get to. It's not a long song, though, which is good.
Yeah, thank Christ. I couldn't take all that randomness packed into anything longer than that.
It's hard.
It's fucking hard. It's like, okay.
So this song was Nick's pick. He said he heard it a couple weeks ago, thought it would be fun to break down. I think he's right. We're going to find out as we go. Now, my wife brought something up. I was telling her what we do in this series and told her that we did Hypnotize, and this time we're doing this song. I asked what she thought about the song. Her only feedback was it's depressing. So you got that. Just in case anybody wanted a real quick rundown. Don't want to listen to a whole hour of this. Great. You got your gist of it. It's depressing. There you go. Boom. You're done. Move along. We got your download money already. Thank you.
Time to get depressed.
But she thought that we should do like the actual meanings behind the songs at the end. What do you think about that?
This one is pretty easy to summarize, so I think I'm cool with that.
I think so too.
Off the top of my head.
I don't think it's necessary, because that's not what we're here for. We're not here to give you facts. We're here to give you our interpretations. That's what you come back for.
Pretty much.
Right? If you want to know what it's really about, you got to go look that up. If you want a fun and engaging way to look at it and think about it, then you come to us for our thoughts on it.
Exactly.
Otherwise, it would just be called listening. But no, it's selective listening, because it's our opinions.
Well, I mean, if it was just selective listening, which you guys selected, so, I mean, there's a pun there somewhere.
But you selected this episode to listen to, so we're selectively listening to this song for you to listen to because you selected it.
There you go. There you go.
All right, so like I said, song is Loser by Beck, released March 8th, 1993. Hit some top 10 charts. I was surprised. Number 8 in Australia, number 7 in Canada, got up to 5 in New Zealand. Big in the friendly white people zones, it seems like. Number 2 in Iceland, if we really want to go friendly white people. Number 1 in Norway and the U.S. alternative airplay, and number 17 in the U.S. mainstream top 40.
You know, that's
the highest it got.
Everybody's just like, yeah, you know, this song's really, it's really special to me. It speaks to my soul. It was the 90s. The 90s were a hell of a time to be alive. Let me just say that much.
They really were. Give us... So this came out before you were born?
No, after.
Okay, just after. So you were then, like, not even one? One, maybe?
No,
not I don't know when you were born. It doesn't matter. You were youngin. You didn't hear this when it came out, obviously, but you've heard it since. What's your history with this song? Why do you like it? Why did you pick it?
So... My radio station on my way to work, or like the one that's preset in my car all the time.
See, there's your first problem right there. You should be listening to podcasts. There's 1,000 out there you can listen to.
I listen to podcasts like 8 hours a day at work.
You've got 10-ish. You've got Hold My Popcorn. All these guys you could be listening to instead of Beck Loser. But all right, you know what? You go.
Suck my fanfic. We got to say that again because I cut you off. I was talking over you. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
You guys. But no.
Anyway, so you're listening to the radio like it's 1994, and then what happens?
Well, you see, they play it all the fucking time. Like, once a week, and it's every Tuesday, I notice. Because usually, for some reason, on Tuesdays, I'm, like, 3 minutes later than I normally am.
Oh, shit.
Like, getting my daughter to daycare and shit like that. I think it's just pure laziness on my part. But I always catch that song, like, every Tuesday, it seems like, 6:03 or whatever in the morning. And, yeah,
it's really early to hear this song. I feel like if you're up at 6 a.m. and you're going to work, you need something better.
Oh man, when I'm half asleep and my daughter's screaming in the back seat, and that song's playing in the background, it's like, universe, you bastard.
Yeah.
And then as a child, my mother used to listen to Beck, Beastie Boys, Chili Peppers, shit like that, a lot of Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, at the breakfast, lunch, and dinner table. So I got to, you know, this song hit me all the time as a child. It's terrible, but that's my experience with this song.
Nice. So until yesterday, day before, whenever I was putting this together and I really fully listened to the song, I don't think I've ever actually done that before. Like, just sat and heard the song, listened to what it was saying. You know, I've heard it a million times on the radio, not my own radio. Again, not living in 1994. I got playlists. I got podcasts. I don't go out of my way for songs I don't really like. This song's fine. It fits perfectly as number 17 on the U.S. mainstream top 40. Like, that is where this song belongs. But like I said, I've heard it a million times. Usually it's in stores, restaurants. Just never really wanted to consume it. And now that I did, it's a crazy song when you try and break it down.
Oh, it really fucking is. It's bananas. It's some white dude speaking banana land bullshit. And that's what's so fucking funny about it. It's just every time I hear it, it's like, oh my god, this guy got paid millions of dollars to write this bullshit. I could think of this sitting on the toilet.
I don't know that you could. You gotta have some mind-altering substances or something going on. Because, I mean, as reading through the lyrics and trying to make my own perceptions of them listening to the song, I really feel like I'm going to have to go look at what the line-by-line breakdown really is supposed to be. Genius.com is a great place to see that. I'm not going to share it here because, again, that's not why you're here, but I may have to do it for my own edification just to see, like, what the hell is this fucking crazy guy talking about?
I might have to now. I honestly think it boils down to him being just horribly ironic. Like, being is... I don't fucking... Contradictory.
I have some different opinions, and I guess we'll get into those. Let's start it. Your song, you pick the first line, or you go with the first line.
So here we go.
Here we go.
In first
Beck,
one.
Loser.
Oh my god. In the time of chimpanzees, I was a monkey. So I think that's... I mean, here we go with the double entendres, the bullshit already. This guy, he's a standout character. He's different, you know? He's not the same as all these other chimpanzees. He's a regular monkey. But...
Exactly.
They're all kind of under the same branch of species and stuff like that.
Right, yeah, that was kind of what I was... He's different. He's almost less evolved than the rest of humanity. I mean, that goes right straight to the title of the song, right? And as the VCR kids pointed out to me last week, or it was like a couple weeks ago on their Dunstan Checks In episode, chimpanzees are higher primates than just regular plain-ass old monkeys. They're more adept. They can learn better. They're a better species than the monkey.
I was just about to say that, because if you ever look at it from like a pure predator and prey perspective, when I think of like a monkey, I'm thinking of a howler monkey, something like that, just or a spider monkey, you know, a little skinny guy.
Coming at you like a spider monkey.
Spider monkey! I love spider monkeys. I think they're neat. Their tails are cool. But anyways, they're, if you've ever seen a chimpanzee, like, hairless, they are fucking jacked, bro. They would rip your goddamn arm off so hard. So it's almost like, it's like the jock and the outcast type high right. school dichotomy.
Yeah, the chimpanzees are a bit higher on the food chain, as it were. They're a bit are on the evolutionary chain. They can use tools better. They can learn sign language and things like that. They can use tools. I think I said they can use tools. They're just smarter, I guess would be the way to put it.
They monkeys. Also hunt monkeys.
Right. And yeah, so that Beck is a monkey. I agree.
So he's hunted, bro.
Butane in my veins, and I'm out to cut the junkie. So we're off the rails already. Gone.
I thought we were there with the first line.
No idea what the... But see, I could make up something on the first line. Here, I got nothing. I don't know what the fuck this means. I want to say he's referring to drugs in some way. Butane is a form of gas, so I think he's likening the gas to drugs, probably cocaine, heroin, something like that. And he wants to unleash his inner junkie. Like, he's shooting himself up with this gas, and he's ready to go.
That's... I was kind of on the same page with that. Butane, if you've ever kind of fucked with it, is a little cold. Mm. Like, it'll chill the can sometimes. And, I could see, you know, like ice. You think of ice with meth.
Yeah.
Meth in my veins! He's out here shooting up, and he's trying to cut the junkie and steal his meth and also hunt him down because he's a fellow monkey.
Yeah. I thought he was the junkie here, and like out to cut the junkie meant something like let him loose in that sort of way. But I think either way it works. Don't people who do crack, don't they use butane lighters sometimes because they get that big, huge flame?
Oh, yeah.
Could be something with that. Yeah. Could be something with that too. So drugs. We're going to go with drugs there.
I mean, he has veins and junkie in the same line. Yeah. So
you got to go drugs, yeah.
All right, yeah, that's cool. It's synonymous with drugs. With the plastic eyeballs, spray paint the vegetables.
I'm glad you got this one.
Wonky as shit, man. So here, what I thought was, with the plastic eyeballs, so it's like the blank-ass stare, like just nothing behind the eyes. But they also follow you wherever you go. Real creepy.
Yep.
And you spray paint the vegetables to make them more colorful? That's about where I was.
Yeah.
Or change, like, think a yellow squash and then spray paint it fucking green and call it a zucchini.
Yeah, the spray paint the vegetables was the confusing part. I kind of just had crazy ramblings of someone doing hard drugs because, like, that's what happens. Or more literally, he actually injected himself with gas, and now this is what he's seeing with his plastic eyeballs. Maybe he's spray painting the vegetables to poison other people. There's something there, I don't know. Or, and here's where I'm really onto something. I think he wants to spray paint human vegetables, like people who are like in a catatonic state, with their plastic eyeballs. They're empty. They got nothing going on in their brain to make them seem more human.
Damn, my brain just exploded.
Galaxy brain shit right there.
That was nasty, bro. Or he's just out here huffing paint with them, so...
Yeah, yeah, it could... It,
they
it,
have a hard time huffing, more likely so he's that. Just hosing them.
Here, I got this brown bag, Grandpa. I know you haven't moved in 6 years, but here you go.
Hey, you want to hit this shit? Fine! Just hose him.
Dog food stalls with the beefcake pantyhose. Again, just more drug craziness I gotta chalk it up to. I really can't make out anything tangible from this. He was on something serious when he wrote this song. But, I mean, it's catchy. I'll give him that. I don't know what to say for beefcake pantyhose in a dog food stall.
I mean...
Maybe... Oh, I got it. Nope, I got it. Stop. Sorry. It's... So rest stops, as I learned from There's Something About Mary, are a homosexual breeding ground, if it were. So these beefcakes wearing their pantyhose. I'm sorry if I'm offending somebody. Like I'm seriously just trying to be funny. I'm not. Anyway, these beefcakes in their pantyhose are filling the dog food stalls at the rest stop, waiting for somebody to visit their glory hole. Boom.
See, my mind went to
To get
prison.
their fix.
Yes. Get their fix of beefcake pantyhoe ass slamming. But yeah, I thought of prison. You know,
That could
dog
be.
food stalls, like the showers with the beefcake pantyhose, aka
That's like the
giant
longest
dudes with
yard,
like,
like Tracy Morgan in the longest yard, right?
oh, that or I don't know, Goldberg with a giant wiener.
Well, yeah, but Goldberg wasn't wearing pantyhose was the problem.
You could think of it like beefcake pantyhose. It's like a third leg, like pantyhose overlaying your leg. I don't know. Maybe he's on drugs, and
Or it could be a
that makes
condom.
more sense. Or
Pantyhose
what?
for your beefcake. Condom.
Nice. You got to keep that shit strapped to your leg. That's
Let's move to
it.
the next
He
line, I
wears
think.
pantyhose in prison to keep his wiener strapped to
How did he
his
get to
leg.
prison? All the drugs, probably.
Bro, I mean, fuck yeah, dude. Is this dude from Florida?
Sounds like it.
I gotta
I
look
think
this up
it,
after.
no, he's like Norwegian or something. He's from one of those nice white people places.
And this is what do you think, like?
Iceland, Norway, Canada, one of those nice places.
He's like, what is Chicago like? Huh. Kill the headlights and put it in neutral. Stock car flaming with the loser and the cruise control. So, this guy's just a rebel guy. He's like
This one
Tyler
felt like the
Durden at
easiest
Fight
to me.
Club. What's that?
I said this line felt like the easiest one to me.
One of the easiest compared to the like the first
Yeah.
one. So it's
No
just
dog
like,
food stalls.
yeah, this isn't prison, bro. But stock car flaming, just your random standard cookie cutter car. The loser, him, is in cruise control, but he's already, you know, killed the headlights and put it in neutral. He's maintaining that 70 mile per hour speed. And yeah, so he's living his life that same standard set and just letting it, you know, live free, man. Just let it go. And there you are. He's a rebel,
Yeah,
man. That's what it comes down to. He's just a he's a rebel.
I don't disagree in any way. He's letting it go. He's giving away control of his trip, as it were, letting Jesus take the wheel here and seeing what happens in his flaming stock car of a life.
Nice. That does not sound like fun at all.
No. Baby's in Reno with the vitamin D. Got a couple couches. Sleep on the love seat. So his girlfriend's out of town. She's getting some sun, or potentially, and more likely, some dick. That's the vitamin D here. So Beck invited a bunch of other losers slash drug users over to his house, and he's nothing if not hospitable. He's got a couch for each of them. They can sleep on. He lets them stay overnight because his girlfriend's out of town.
Like, hey, the lady's out, let's party with drugs.
I mean, most likely she's out getting that vitamin D in Reno, so he's got some bitches over, and they're gonna sleep on the couch after they're done doing whatever he
Some
needs them to.
vitamin dick. So, I mean, I kind of disagree with you on that
Oh,
regard. I
all right.
got, you know, babies in Reno, so it's very sunny there in Nevada. So, I mean, babies out there, they get a lot of vitamin D.
Literal vitamin D. Yeah.
Yes,
I mean,
literal.
that was my first inclination, but I liked the dick thread better.
That was fucking hilarious, I gotta admit. But why is this man concerned with the babies in Reno, Nevada? They have police there. We've seen them on TV. They're great. And a couple of couches, but he sleeps on the love seat. Once again, I am such a rebel. Fuck that couch. I'm gonna sleep on this uncomfortable ass love seat. Because I'm stupid and Norwegian or something.
I'm a loser. Yeah.
Yeah. Fuck this. I don't deserve the couch, man. I don't deserve three cushions. Only two.
I see, to me, I feel like he's telling someone else to sleep on the love seat, but maybe not. You could be right.
I mean, we'll have to find out. I'm
Yeah.
very tempted to read what this is about.
We're really gonna have to after this is over. You got the next one, I think.
Sorry, I lost. someone came in saying I'm insane to complain about a shotgun wedding and a stain on my shirt. So I think this actually goes back to the previous line. They're in Reno. They're in Nevada. So you got to hit up Vegas. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And someone came in trying to break up the wedding.
Well, actually, Reno is the eloping capital of the world.
No shit.
Yeah.
I always just assumed it was Vegas. Because
they've got the same laws as Vegas, but like I think it's easier or cheaper in Reno, something
it's
like that.
It's probably a shitload cheaper.
Yeah.
But, yes.
So they don't have to actually go all the way to Vegas. To you can extrapolate now on what you were going to say.
So now that even makes it even more conducive to my theory here. So someone comes in bitching at him because he's complaining that he has a stain on his shirt at his wedding. But they're like, bro, you're still getting married with a stain on your shirt. If she doesn't care, what a wonderful woman. Which I would be kind of pissed off if I had a big ass stain on my shirt and my wife was just didn't say anything about it.
Yeah, I would never get away with having a stain on my shirt and not having something said about it. So that doesn't exist in my world. I don't get it. Playing off of the last line, we had different interpretations there. So, again, mine's a little different here. I'm still with the assumption that his girlfriend's in Reno, but he's not with her. She went out there to get her vitamin dick. And he's back home with all these junkies over at his house getting some junkie going on. So he's complaining about his girlfriend who's having the shotgun wedding, and he also has a stain on his shirt. And these random people now show up and are trying to tell him, they're telling him how to live his life. Don't complain about this bullshit. There's bigger problems in the world, but he doesn't give a shit about that.
I think you might be on to something. Maybe baby's his wife.
That's what I'm thinking.
They had a shotgun wedding, and now he has a stain on his shirt.
Could be. Nobody puts baby in the corner. Shit. That's all I know.
You know, they're all being very nice about Norwegian about it. Like, hey, man, I think you have a stain on your shirt there. Can I get that out for you?
Yeah, you don't need to complain about that. I got my stain stick right with me. Don't believe...
They just threw bleach at him. And they're like, oh, let me help you with that.
So the next line is, don't believe everything that you breathe. That's pretty straightforward. But it could be more nuanced with the usage of everything you breathe instead of everything you read or everything you see. He may be seeing that what you experience when you're on drugs is not all necessarily true to life. Your mind's going to play tricks on you when you're breathing in that crack cocaine smoke or meth or, you know, whatever inhalants you're breathing. Huffing the spray paint with the vegetables. Whatever you got going on there can drive your mind a little crazy. So when you're on your trip, don't believe everything that's going on.
I think you're very onto something there. I think it might be something as simple as don't believe like you asked for heroin and you actually got heroin. You know, if you're like smoking it or something or crack or whatever, whatever drug a white Norwegian dude.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
Prefers to ingest.
Yeah, you paid for heroin, but your heroin's probably cut with something else, is what you're saying.
Right. You wanted some cocaine, but it's laced with fentanyl or something, and you. Right. OD and die like a motherfucker.
A lot of drugs going on here.
I think there's a lot of drugs going on. And even that he's around some shady people, you know.
The bitches are still over sleeping on the couches and the love seat.
And so, I mean, they're probably doing some meth. Who knows?
Yeah.
You get a parking violation and a maggot on your sleeve.
I have ... ... That was my breakdown of this line.
Every time I hear this song and it comes up, I always think, what the fuck did he mean by this? So all I think is he does a bunch of heroin, like smokes a bunch of heroin and passes out in a car or forgets to get his car, you know, loses his car and he gets a parking violation. But the maggots on the sleeve thing is where I think he's passed out so hard for so long.
Yeah, he was there so long that he's literally turned into garbage.
He's literally just turned into fucking garbage. And he has some maggots all over him now.
I'm with you. I don't know what... I think it has somewhat a continuation of the don't believe everything you breathe, but it's got to be he's passed out for so long that he gets a parking ticket. again, the maggot, we don't really know what's going on there.
I got it.
Maybe we also need to be on drugs while we're trying to analyze this. Can we take a quick break, smoke some crack, and come back?
Can we do that? I mean, I just have to... I'm an actor. I just have to think about smoking crack, and I'm there.
All right, well, so... I'm going to take a break. I'm going to smoke some crack. Okay, we're back. All right, let's go.
So I think it even alludes further back to the previous line. So this is like getting just deeper and deeper into the fucking rabbit hole. But I think this is him telling a story of him smoking some heroin fentanyl or meth fentanyl or whatever they lace it with. And he passed out in a car and got a parking violation and a maggot started to eat him alive.
Okay.
He's some garbage. Some fucking garbage.
Whatever's really going on, we agree he passed out in a car and stayed in a parking spot for too long. We can at least say that much.
That's fair.
So, shave your face with some mace in the dark. This is just straight up self-harm at this point, which, you know, I've heard drugs can easily lead to. He's trying to point out here that leading this life of a drug addict junkie loser will make you feel like shaving with mace in the dark, where... you're really likely to get mace in your plastic eyeballs, probably.
Yes. And it doesn't burn. I'm invincible. Mace doesn't burn me. Or he tried huffing mace with a vegetable, and they woke up and beat the shit out of him. Yes. So, honestly, I think it's like you're all fucking strung out on dope, and you get this crazy idea like, dang... mace burns my eyes. It burns my face. What if it burns my hair off? So you spray your facial hair with mace, and you make that connection.
Great idea. Great idea.
I mean, this dude's getting eaten alive by maggots, so
this would be a really bad song to listen to on a bad drug trip.
Oh, God. It would
give you a lot of bad ideas.
With your friend just sitting there just like smiling at you.
Yeah, let's try it. Fuck it.
Just lay there for a really long time.
There's a maggot on your sleeve, bro.
Just leave it, man. Just leave it. Saving all your food stamps and burning down the trailer park. So this guy's a maniacal fuck. So here, he shaved his face with some mace. So he's clean shaven. He has a new identity. He's going incognito. And he's been saving his food stamps for months, maybe even years. So he burns the trailer park down, which... I mean, maybe there's some food stamps going on. A lot of people have them. So now he's got all the food stamps. They lost him in the fire. And he's out here, the kingpin of the park, with all the food stamps. And then he just grows his beard back and no one knows it was him. This crazy stranger just came out of nowhere, luckily, with all these food stamps for me to buy at inflated prices.
I would feel like insurance would cover if you lost your food stamps in a... trailer park fire, but you know, maybe people living in a trailer park don't have home insurance also at the same time, or would that be car insurance? I don't know. If you're living in a trailer park, I'm sorry if I offended you. Actually, I'm not. It's kind of a funny thing. Not living in a trailer park, the thing I said.
But, so, I mean, I don't know. I don't know if you can get insurance on this. But, you know, the adjuster would just be like, well, get a fucking jab.
Yeah, exactly. To me, I feel like the last couple of lines have just been his path to self-destruction of, like, he's just going down in flames. And this is the culmination of all that, of he's ready to just burn all this shit down. But if you're going to be self-destructive and literally destructive, you got to at least make sure you can eat. So you grab all the food stamps first, because doing drugs makes you hungry.
Right. And
got to make sure you can get food.
And you gotta make sure you can stay up forever because there's no visible beds in sight and only charred remains of burnt out trailers.
Yeah. Yo, cut it. So here, he's gotta be saying, like, maybe this whole string of craziness that we just broke down was what he's picturing his trip to be. And he's, as he's going through this, he's weighing the options of, should I do the drug, should I not? And he gets to the point, the bottom, you know, save all your food stamps, burn the trailer park. And he's like, yeah, I'm in. Cut that shit. Let's go. Because that's how you do lines of cocaine. You cut them. You know, I think when you do heroin, it's called cutting. Like, that. It's a term in drug use of cutting the drugs, you know, to use them. I think. So I've read. I don't do drugs.
Walks up to Calvin, he's like, "Hey man, can I cut you some Laffy Taffy?" Calvin's like, "Get away from me, you're fucking drugs."
Yo, cut it.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think he has maybe someone telling him, or like he's gone down this road before and experienced a bunch of crazy shit. And he's just like, fuck it, cut it with the fentanyl, bro. I don't even care.
That could be too. For several days. Yeah, let's add some shit to this. Could be.
Fuck it. Or he's saying, yo, that doesn't sound like a cool time. You should cut it down. You know, add some baby powder or flour or whatever they put in cocaine. And,
yeah, this shit's gonna be too strong. Let's cut it.
Yeah, wean it down real hard so I'm just snorting mostly baby powder.
That could be. Or he could just be saying, cut, let's move on. Like, cut, print it, let's go. You know, ready to move on to the next step.
More drugs. All right. Soy Unperdedor, which is I'm a loser.
Yeah, I'm thinking so.
That's a course.
Spanish, yeah. I took 3 years of Spanish, and we never covered this exact phrase, but I'm guessing it's Soy Un Perdedor is I'm a loser.
I think I saw that on the internet, so it must be right.
Exactly. There you go. So the next, I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me? He doesn't like living in this loser life where he's a junkie, blah, 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 and wants someone else to end it for him. Can't do it himself. He's even too much of a loser for that.
I think something like that. Or, you know, someone's bitching at him. He's just like, I'm a loser. Just fucking get it over with.
Baby. Yeah, that could be.
Or, baby, his wife. He's a loser. He's never going to amount to nothing. That's why she went and got some vitamin D. And he says, just kill me because I love you and you cheated on me.
Yeah, could be.
There we go. Double barrel buckshot. I mean, I think this is Kurt Cobain.
Yeah, that's how he wants someone to kill him with the shotgun.
Yeah, just shoot me with a lot, just blow me to pieces with this double barrel buckshot. Fuck that, dude. God, that'd make you Swiss cheese.
Yeah, no, that wouldn't be fun. Soy Un Perdedor, I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me? You know, drugs make you repeat yourself sometimes.
Yes. And speak Spanish randomly.
Yes.
I mean, you're out west. There's a lot of Spanish.
Norwegian or whatever the hell it is.
He took 3 years of Spanish too.
Yeah, he's good at it. They must have covered that in the Norwegian Spanish classes. They cover Soy Un Perdedor. America, we don't cover that phrase. Loser.
You gotta make the Americans really need feel to know at home. Oh, so it's my turn.
It's you.
Again. The forces of evil in a bozo nightmare. So, more drugs. And he's seeing crazy, evil spirits, man, because he's a bozo who took a bunch of drugs. He's the B word. And he's having a bad trip, and he's seeing crazy asshole shit.
You see, I took it as clowns are scary. Bozo the clown, force of evil, obviously. So he's having a nightmare about clowns. Ball on drugs.
God, that'd be fucking awful. Oh, good.
I think your explanation's probably better. But mine is more fun, so.
Yes. Mine was fun too, Calvin.
It was, but mine was more fun. You can have fun, like, going to the water park is fun, but going to the water park on weed is more fun.
What is that from?
Half-Baked. Yeah, John Stewart character. He's like, you ever looked at a $20 bill, man? You ever looked at a $20 bill on weed?
Oh, John Stewart.
I'm just kidding. I don't do drugs. Ban all the music with the phony gas chamber. So the clowns are coming in. They're going to cut out all the music. They're going to throw all the musicians in a gas chamber of laughing gas. Like they're the fucking Joker out here. Now, I'm done with the clown metaphor, I promise. He wants to cut the music out of his life by doing drugs, you know, referring back to that butane that he was using before. Drugs are the gas chamber, a phony gas chamber because it's not real gas. So he's trying to cut the music out of his life because it's the thing that makes him special, and but really he's a loser, so he can't be special.
Dang.
Or clowns want to, you know, spray him with laughing gas. It's one or the other.
He's like, I hate laughing. I don't want to laugh ever. I actually think this has something to do with the Nazis. Ooh. So the forces of evil he sees, because he's Norwegian, are Nazis.
Do we know he's Norwegian? We've been saying that a lot. You
I
said
don't
you
know.
Were going to look it up. Did you actually look it up?
No, I did not.
Okay, let's I'm going to look here. It up now, just so we yes. can get it straight. You go with your thing while I look it up.
But anyway, so say, hypothetically, he's Norwegian, and that's how the Nazis started, man. They started banning music and authors and burning books and shit. And they
All right,
started,
so are you ready
you know,
for this?
Yes. He's from
Beck
California.
Beck Hansen is an American musician, singer, songwriter, record producer from Los Angeles, California. So go on with your Norwegian Nazi metaphor, though. Let's hear it. I like it.
So he's a Californian, see? And the Japanese bombed that area with
Almost.
Submarines. No, they hit it with submarines,
with submarines
a couple times.
Okay.
And so they're very, you know, Japanese were an ally of the Germans. And there you go.
Boom. Gas chambers. There we are.
Yeah, I got it. We sound like such dicks. We're like, this Norwegian fuck. My fellow American.
Well, you know, we're 40 minutes into this almost, and we've confirmed that he is not Norwegian. He's American. You know, we raised the question at the beginning of the episode. Thought he was, you know, Canadian maybe, Norwegian, Icelandic. Nope. California.
Pretentious
He's
turd.
More or less Sunshine Ronnie Bass, except with music instead of football.
He's Sunshine Ronnie Bass on weed.
I mean, that might be incredibly true with this song.
That's how it started, man. It's a slippery slope, man.
All right, you got the next line here.
Because one's got a weasel and the other's got a flag. One's on the pole. Shove the other in a bag. So.
Damn.
Yeah, this one is just way out there. I think this one is kind of an allusion to patriotism, maybe. Like, so he, at the same time of being a drug, maybe he's a homeless veteran, and he's kind of hit the drugs a little hard. No, I'm going to leave that one.
Maybe he's Norwegian.
Maybe he's Norwegian, dude, and he's just really patriotic. They have weasels on their flags, maybe, whereas us Americans, the cool people, we love our flags. We keep it on poles everywhere, and you know, weasels get shoved into bags by the CIA because they're fucking rat weasel finks.
So I'm with you on the weasel part and shoving it in the bag there. Now I misread this when I was doing my breakdown. I didn't misread it, but when I was like trying to break it down, I misrecalled it, I guess, because I was thinking it's because one's got a weasel and the other's got a bag. One's on the pole, shove the other in a bag. Which makes even less sense than the actual line. So I thought bag was used twice, so I was like, okay, one has a weasel, the other has a bag. The bag is drugs of some sort, obviously. weasel may be a term for bad drugs, or like you said, somebody, you know, a rat or a... What's it called? What do they call informants? I mean, a rat. We'll just call it a rat.
CI?
No, I'm going to move on because I can't think of the word and it's bothering me. So, you know, he's a rat. They don't know what to do with him. They don't do drugs, and they're going to turn all their friends in. So they want to put the person with the flag, which is a good thing. They want to put that on the pole because that's what you do with flags. You raise them up on the pole. Or, you know, in my thinking, I was thinking you want to put them on the pole, which is a racing term, meaning you're in the lead, you're in pole position. So that's what they're doing with the flag, which makes less sense when you think it's a flag and not a person with a bag. Yeah, I don't know. I got really way out of here. But basically, what I want to say is the person that's a weasel, they just want them to get the fuck out of here. So they throw them in a bag, which they're going to kill them and put them in a body bag, maybe. Maybe it's like Fabulous when he throws in the bags, he's going shopping. I don't know.
I think it's an allusion to our founding fathers, bro.
Yeah, I mean, you're definitely more online with your line of thinking because mine went into crazy town because I misremembered the line.
I mean, I got lost there with you, bud, in the flaming car.
Well, we need to smoke some more crack because we're not making sense anymore with this song.
Careful what you breathe, homie.
Don't believe everything you breathe.
That's, I mean, same thing.
Yo, cut it. Cut all that shit I just said because it didn't make any sense. Right. Producer.
Dope.
No, we don't have a producer. With the rerun shows and the cocaine nose job, the daytime crap of the folk singer slob. So now he's getting real introspective here. For a folk singer like Beck, this is your everyday life. It's boring. You watch reruns all day. You got nothing going on. You got to get a nose job because he sniffs so much cocaine. Got to get that deviated septum fixed. He's sick of this life of being a popular folk singer. Like, that's not what he wants. He wants to be a loser.
I mean, he's a folk singer, bro. He is a loser.
Ouch.
Dang, shots fired.
Shout out to all the folk singers out there.
Yeah, I think you're... Yeah, I mean, you guys are super cool. He was categorized as rock and roll, folk rap, hip-hop, and, like, rap folk or some stupid shit. But I think you're on to something. I think he...
Folk, funk, soul, hip-hop, electronic, alternative rock, country, psychedelia.
Get the fuck out of here with all that shit.
14 studio albums.
That's like the North Korean general with 100 medals on his chest, and he's never stepped foot in a comedy. Yeah. I think you're pretty much on to something. I think, like, since he is just that folksy kind of out there novelty act, he's obviously made a shit ton of money, and that's what he does with his time during the day, because he makes stupid nonsense fucking songs in 10 minutes and puts it out, and people love it. So he's just watching reruns, doing cocaine, and his nose is fried.
Yeah.
Bam. I like it. I like it, yeah. He hung himself with a guitar string. A guitar. God, I can't believe I just said that. A
guitar string.
Fuck you, man.
Hung himself with a guitar string.
I mean, my grandpa's from Oklahoma. I've been talking to him quite a bit, so my southern drawl kind of comes out sometimes. He hung himself with a guitar string, a slab of turkey neck, and it's hanging from a pigeon wing. This one is so... I mean, the first line is pretty easy.
We're back into the dog food stalls again with the second half, that's for sure.
Prison. he's sick. Like you said, he's sick of this shit. He's tired of people just buying this crap and liking his music, even though, I mean, it's utter stupidity, but it's kind of catchy. So, you know, he hangs himself with his guitar string. Fuck.
You're not going to be able to stop now.
I'm not. I got to just not say that word anymore.
Yeah.
So it's ironic. Even in death, this motherfucker is ironic. And the slab of turkey neck is hanging from a pigeon. The only thing I can think of is he's overweight from all the drugs and the booze. And the guitar string, the G string, the instrument string cut through his neck so much that his turkey neck, his fatness, is hanging like a pigeon wing that's broken in New York because people hate them.
Whoa. I'm with you on the first half. That's for sure. He's fed up with the thing that he loves most, and the thing that made him this way, the thing that made him successful, is going to be the death of him. So he ends up hanging himself with his guitar string. He can't take the thing that he loved. He can't stand it anymore. I was thinking the turkey skin pigeon wing thing is maybe some sort of metaphor for, like, his dick. Like, maybe strangling himself while he's naked. And, you know, I don't know. I'm just throwing that out there.
You keep going back to dicks.
Yeah.
So
a lot of dicks in this song.
Yes, I think you might be on to something, because
to me, everything comes back to dicks, so that's got to be what he meant.
I mean, he's just on drugs, so he's all about the dicks.
All about that nookie. You can't write if you can't relate. Again, this is the easiest line. I'm glad I got this one.
All the easy lines, you bastard.
I really did. Don't judge him if you've never been in this position. You can't write a song like this if you've never been in this position. You can't he's probably talking to critics more so than like other songwriters. He's fed up with his life. He thinks he's doing shitty work, but he's doing it well. But critics are talking about how great he is or how he's lost his luster, one of those things, And he's saying, like, you don't get to judge me because you have not been in my position.
I think you're exactly right. And I think there's an underlying layer of, fuck you, man. I've done all these drugs, man. And you can't relate to that guy. So, I don't know. I think
I hang myself with a guitar string and my dick hanging out.
Guitars and dicks. That's the new country western hip hop style.
That's actually we're gonna not go with the normal nomenclature for this episode. It's gonna be called a podcast about guitar strings and dicks.
Fucking right, dude.
You gotta figure it out for yourself.
It's
1,000 downloads on day one because people.
Ironically, ironic. That might, you know, it might work. Trade the cash for the beat, for the body, for the heat. So. Trade the cash for the beat. So he's saying he's tired of beating his own dick because all the bitches are gone. So he's trading.
You're trying
back
to force
all
the dicks
cash.
In here now. I don't believe you. Now you're just forcing the dicks in.
So he's trading the cash to a hooker so she'll beat him off. For, you know, he needs another person.
You
he needs their body.
Clearly didn't
heat.
Put enough thought into your dick metaphors here.
That's a perfect one. Are you kidding me? That's perfect. Let us know on Twitter.
Who has best dick metaphors? Let us know, please.
Please do.
At APA something at alone underscore podcast.
So, yeah, trade the cash for the beat, for the body, for the heat. I really don't fucking know. I mean, it's too catchy for me to really wrap my mind around it. I think, you know, he's buying more drugs, which is beating his body down, but it's also making him very hot because drugs do that to you.
Well, so... The beat is his songs, right? So he's trading cash. He gets money for making shitty songs, which take a toll on his sense of self, the body, which then you trade your body for the heat, which is the drugs, to try and restore some sense of yourself. And so just taking money to put out shitty music drains kind of your energy and your sense of self. And it takes you away from why you like making music in the first place. So as your body deteriorates, your sense of self deteriorates, you trade that for the heat, the drugs, to get some semblance of that back. It was my take on it.
That was incredibly introspective.
Well, it was extrospective. I wasn't looking in on myself at all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. No, that was very good, actually. My brain did not go there.
I mean, when he has lines that aren't completely nonsensical, I can get it. But when he's talking about dog food stalls and huffing vegetables and whatnot, I can't do it.
Hosing vegetables in their hospital beds.
With beefcake? Yeah, I don't know. Like, who would want a cake that's made out of beef? Sounds gross.
With the dick strapped to your leg from pantyhose?
And my time is a piece of wax falling on a termite who's choking on the splinters. He feels like he's wasting his time away and that he's killing the smaller people who are just trying to feed themselves. Not the smaller, like, peasants necessarily, but, like, the people around him who are trying to feed themselves off of, you know, managers and roadies, things like that. People who help him with his everyday life who are trying to feed themselves, and he's the wax falling on them. He's just wasting away and killing them in the process because he can't do it anymore.
Right. I mean, yeah, like, I think that's pretty accurate. But I think you're onto something with his time is wasting away, and these people, you know, the fans and all these people that are kissing his ass because he's putting out this shit, they're choking on his garbage, you know, and they're the termites per se, and he, the wax, freezes them, you know, kind of holds them in place, or they're stuck. With all
John
this bullshit
Hammond can
in their mouth.
Extract DNA from them and clone dinosaurs. Yeah,
right. It's very reciprocal. So they're just going to be recycling this bullshit for the rest of forever, which is why I hear it on the radio every fucking Tuesday.
Maybe you're stuck in, like, a Groundhog Day situation. Do you ever think of that?
I would be so pissed.
Would not so be pissed. Fun. We are going to do in the future, because I just watched Palm Springs on Hulu. Ooh, check that out if you haven't seen it. We're going to do movie superlatives on time loop movies, because those are a lot of fun, and it's a fun thing to think about. What would you do stuck in that time?
Well, we're at it, we're gonna do a Tom Hanks series.
False.
We're doing a fucking Tom Hanks series now.
What? So how did Tom Hanks come up in this? He's not in Palm Springs or in Groundhog Day.
I just thought of Big for some reason.
That's not a time loop. That is a genie wish.
But
we could do genie wish movies also.
He's a kid who goes to an adult who goes back. Big. Time loop.
No, that's not a time loop. I'm talking about when you're stuck in the same day over and over, like Groundhog Day, like Palm Springs. That's the time loop I'm talking.
Okay.
Anyway, that's neither here nor there. We can have that discussion at a different time. We got one line left.
I'm a driver. I'm a winner. Things are gonna change. I can feel it. He probably shouldn't have put this. He should have left it out because I don't think anything changed. Because I don't really know of anything that he's put out in a long fucking time.
He's got 14 studio albums. That's something.
But I don't know
in of it. 19 different genres.
I listen to the fucking radio, man. Like you said so yourself, that's where they put shit like this. If he put anything out that was decent, it'd be there.
I had a song on my first laptop that I bought in like 2005. There was a Beck song like preloaded on it with Windows Media Player that like it was just to like show the functionality of Windows Media Player. It's the only song on there. Don't know what it was. It wasn't good, but it was a Beck song. So that's where his life is gone.
See?
Or at least
he's cranked out this trash. And Microsoft's like, hey, let's put you on our computers.
It definitely wasn't Loser. It was something else.
You bought this Windows, you loser.
This is what we're telling you with your purchase of this Dell laptop you just made.
And you can't return it.
Yeah, he thinks he's turning his life around at this point. He's on the path to winning. It's either that or he's gone so far in the drug addiction that he is dying. And that's in death he can be a winner. Because in life he couldn't be. That would be my other take on it.
Driving off into the sunset.
Yeah. Things are gonna change because, well, I'm dead.
Something that just hit me is so he's gone down this entire drug fueled rabbit hole. He's on absolute peaks of unpredictability and weirdness. And then he takes another hit and he's back to thinking he's in control of his life. Ooh, and he's the shit. And he cranks out, you know, another garbage fucking song that he's not happy with when he's sober.
That could be.
Boom.
I don't know. Let us know what you think, listeners. On Twitter, at APA something, at @alone_podcast. We're there. We're there to talk. Let us know if you think you're a loser, or if Beck's a loser, or if we're losers. Probably us.
A thousand people like, you guys are fucking losers.
If we name it a podcast about guitar strings and dicks, then yeah, definitely we'll get 1,000 responses. To people who just wanted to hear a podcast about fucking a guitar. I'm sorry.
We would get so many dick pics. Be awful.
Yeah. Yeah, it would.
Just because the word dick is in the title.
That's a good note to end on. Thank you for listening. We are not going to give the real breakdown. Maybe we will on Twitter. Maybe we'll share it there. Because I'm definitely going to look it up.
Yeah, 100%. This is
banana land. Crazy.
I'm intrigued.
So thanks for listening. Check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/podcastaboutsomething. Check out our merchandise store, tpublic.com/APASomething. Get a mask there to protect yourself while you're out in the world with our logo on it. That way everybody knows that you're a cool person. Or maybe they know you're a loser, like Beck. Whichever. I don't care. Just buy us stuff so we get the money. Buy our stuff so we get the money.
Buy our crap so you will give us money.
You can buy us stuff too. I mean, I said that accidentally, but you can buy us stuff if you want. We're open to that.
I have a couple cool figures coming out.
I've been collecting. There is a Funko line, which I know we talked about this on the collecting episode. I don't usually do Funko Pops, but they have all the Venomized versions of like a lot of heroes.
Oh yeah, dude.
So I've been getting some of those. I started with just because they started with Cap, Hulk and Iron Man, so I got those three right away, and now I just got Doctor Strange, Captain Marvel, and Miles Morales, and I just ordered a Daredevil one because it was like $6 on Amazon, so I was like, well, yeah, I gotta order it now.
Yeah, the Thanos one is really cool too.
Thanos is cool. Yeah, I've got them all on my list. I just haven't bought it. So if you want to buy us something, we're open to that.
There's like a bajillion of those now.
I think there were like 12, because I got a lot of X-Men ones, at least that I saw on Amazon. I only look on Amazon.
Right.
Thank you to those cats for providing all the music for a podcast about something, and thank you to Beck for providing us with some fun and lightheartedness in this look through your loser of a life.
I love it. And you guys stay sassy.
Stay classy.